24. Neil O'Hara had bought a small two-story house between the shopping district and the first houses that were high enough up on Beach Avenue to actually see some of the harbor. Jesse didn't know if Kate had a key to the house and hadn't asked. Assumed she probably did, but didn't want to wait. So he did what any industrious chief of police would do and picked the lock, just the way Sonny Randall had showed him. One of her many and varied and impressive talents. Sue and Molly had come here the first morning, telling Jesse afterward that as far as they could tell after a thorough search, that things looked to them the way Neil must have left them the last time he was in the house. They had taken Neil's laptop with them and turned it over to Gabe Weathers, the best techie in the department. But he said there was nothing in the browsing history that looked to him like a smoking gun. So to speak, Gabe had said. He was still working on what he called cloud extraction, which he said was about as easy as learning how to build a rocket from scratch without a password. Jesse stood in the small den in the back of the house now, the one that Neil had used as a home office. There was a decent view of the harbor through the bay window back here. What had Neil been thinking about the last time he'd looked out this window? There wasn't much bare space on the walls. Law diploma, a posed shot of Neil with the other members of the current Board of Selectmen, team photos from his high school baseball team year by varsity year. There was a series of photographs, black and white, of Neil's father with his crew from the B-24 Liberators, in which his dad, Jesse knew, had been a bombardier during World War II, and one of Neil's grandfather, who'd himself been police chief in Paradise once. Mostly there was baseball stuff in the office, a lot of it. An old photograph of Babe Ruth in a Red Sox uniform, a signed Ted Williams poster that somebody had given him, a similar poster just as big, framed, of David Ortiz, a Boston Globe front page from 2004, when the Red Sox won a World Series that felt like their first since tribes had roamed the land. A much bigger display of signed baseballs under glass. A drawing of the original Fenway Park. Photographs from the day he'd been signed in as a mayor. An ancient-looking black-and-white photograph of an Indian chief. Or should Jesse think of him as Native American, even though he was probably called an Indian in the old days? A photograph of Neil's parents' wedding. A replica of the town charter. Just stuff. But stuff that mattered to Neil. Jesse felt as if he were taking a brief tour through the man's history, which also had mattered in Paradise, Mass. Jesse went through the drawers now, and the one floor-to-ceiling bookcase, looked underneath the desk for some kind of hidden compartment. He lifted a little stone bowl being used as a paperweight for the printout record of the last board meeting over which he'd presided. Then Jesse went through the rest of the house, as if going through it for the first time, room by room, cupboard by cupboard in the kitchen, the closet and the drawers in the bedside table in the bedroom. What was he looking for? Something. Anything that would help him understand how his friend had been the one to end up in one of those shallow graves. But came up with nothing. It bothered him that he couldn't find a cell phone, not in the house, not in the old Chevy parked in the garage. The car had been here the night he died. They'd checked. It meant someone had taken Neil to the throw, either dead or alive. Curiouser and curiouser. Which character in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland had said that? Jesse was pretty sure it had been Alice. Molly would know. Sonny would know. Crow had asked if Jesse was curious about Kate knowing Ed Barone. Normally, that would have been her business, except when it intersected with Jesse's. He knew this. If Ben Gage and Neil O'Hara had been seen as a threat, so too was Jesse now. Small town, Crow kept saying. Small enough for all involved parties to know Jesse's history, that he would eventually find out who had done it and why. He went back to the study one last time, stood in the middle of the room and said, talk to me. Nothing in there did. He wondered again if someone had searched this place the night Neil died, just not tossing it the way Ben and Blair's house had been tossed. Or maybe it was different people doing the searching. Another possibility. Maybe, Jesse thought, he should put a car out front all day, every day in the short run, on the chance they might come back, whoever they were, whatever they were looking for. But knew he didn't have the manpower for that. So he went back to the Explorer now and got the motion sensor out of the glove compartment and came back and set it in the front room. Cost him $20 on Amazon. He'd been waiting to use it. CSI Paradise, he thought. He made his way back home eventually, fried himself some chicken sausage and potatoes, fell asleep in front of another Red Sox game, went to bed for good around 11 o'clock, and slept until Molly called him a little before 5 in the morning to tell him that they'd found Ben Gage's body in some woods over near the Marshport Ravine.